Today's shir is Masech Tabeya, Daf Tezayin, and we will begin on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Haroitza, Rabbi Shimon. Haroitza she is kaimu, the chasav. If somebody wants to protect his fields, yite ben odor, he should plant in them an odor tree, an eder tree. Shenemar, adir b'morim Hashem. Rashi explains that these were very valuable and unique trees that were not normally found, and if a person has such a tree on his property, people will always be speaking about it, and that's why everybody will know that this field belongs to this specific individual, and that if somebody tries to usurp that field from the person, everybody will know that it's inappropriate. Inami, another way, Idra Kishmei, it's as we understand the name Adar. Kede Amri Inchi, as people say, my Adra, what does Idra mean? The Kaim Ladari Dari, it remains for many generations. Tanya Nami Hochi, Soda Shesh by Adar, a Soda that has an Adar tree in it, Einen Nixeles, Veinen Nechmeses, it can't be stolen or forcibly taken, for as we explained, everybody realizes it belongs to this individual. And furthermore, its fruits are guarded. So Rashi explains two reasons why its fruits are guarded. One reason he says is because since the leaves of this tree grow very large, they serve as a fence around the field to protect the fruit in the field. Another explanation Rashi gives is that this tree gives off an odor which repels insects, and that's how the fruits of this field remain protected. However, the Mefarshim explained this Gemara also homiletically. They say, Yita ben Adar, Shenema Adir b'Amorim Hashem, is that a person wants to have atzlocha, wants to have success in life, he should realize Adir b'Amorim Hashem, that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person lives through his life with such an approach, then he will have atzlocha. Nei Soscha says that that's really what the month of Adar, which is represented in this name, represents. Adar, as we know, the Nes of Purim, was a Nes that was Beteva. The Nes wasn't obvious. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name does not appear in the Megillah. Haroitza she is kaimu nechosof. If a person wants to have success, Yita ben Eder, he should realize that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even what seems went naturally was really all the Yad Hashem. Others explain, Adar represents Simcha, Mishirach Nechnes Adar, Marvin Besimcha. If a person is always Besimcha, he will have Hatzlacha. The Sfasemis explains that we know that Purim Adar is a time for tzedakah, matanos lavyoinim, haroitzah sheyiskaimu nechasov. If somebody wants to have hatzlacha, yita ben Adar, he should give tzedakah from his assets. Adam Mefarshim explained that Adar, the word Adar, stands for Roish Dvarcha Emes. Haroitzah sheyiskaimu nechasov. If one wants to be successful in his business undertakings, Yite ben Adar, he should go with the Midas HaEmes, Rosh Tavar HaEmes. He should always be careful to act honestly, and if he will always act honestly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help that he will indeed have Atzlocha in his undertakings. Continues the Gemara. Tanar of Tachlifa Achvad Revnoi Chuzal. Kom is an Oysa Shaladim Kutsuvim Loi. All of a person's income is predetermined, Mersh Shana Yom Kippurim. From Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's one girsa, that during those 10 days, during the Seder she made tshuva, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares our panosa. Other Mefarshim say, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines how much panosa we'll have for the entire year. Chutz Maitzor Shabbos Sois Vatzor Shem Tovim. Except what we need to spend for Shabbos and Yontif, Vetzos Bonavol Talmud Torah, and we need to spend for teaching our children Torah. Shem Piches Poiches and Loi, if a person spends less, he will receive less. Vim Hoisev Maisifim Loi, and he spends more, he will receive more. Mefarshim explain, the pasuk says, "Aser to aser es kol tefuah zarecha." A person, aser, during the aser days from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to aser es kol tefuah zarecha, all of your ashiris, all of your income for the entire year will be determined. The Mefarshim have explained, the Gemara says here that if a person spends more, he'll have more. If he spends less, he'll have less. Doesn't mean that it goes dollar for dollar. That if a person spent money for Shabbos, so they'll get more money for Shabbos. It means that, let's say, a person was supposed to have a certain amount of parnasa, that amount of parnasa that was predetermined will not be affected by what he spent on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a machloikis, Tosfos and Ritva. Does this halacha, when you spend for Shabbos, Yom Tov, Talmud Torah, only refer to these specific mitzvahs, or does it refer to all divrei mitzvah? Tosfos says it only refers to these items. The Ritva seems to learn that all divrei mitzvah one spends on does not affect his income. The pasuk says, "Mereishis Hashana v'Achris Hashana Eina Hashem Elokecha Bo." But when we look in the pasuk, we see that the word "reishis" is not spelled "reish aleph shin yotzof," rather it's spelled "reish shin yotzof" with the aleph missing. So in Farshim explained, "Mereishis mitishrei," and "reishis" also stands for "reish" is Rosh Chodesh, "shin" is Shabbos, "yud" is Yontif, "tof" is Talmud Torah. On Mereishis Hashana, from Tishrei, everything is determined except what you spend on the Reishis on these Divrei Mitzvah. The Tzemach Tzedek has a tshuva that one time the price of fish was being raised because they knew that everybody was careful to eat fish on Shabbos, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, and the Tzemach Tzedek discusses if it's proper that they should make a rule that they should stop eating fish until the price comes down. Tzemach Tzedek says that the Gemara says in Masech Decreases that the halach is when a woman has a baby, she has to bring a pair of birds. And the Gemara discusses the similar situation when Yerushalayim, the bird sellers had raised the prices of birds, and the Tana, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, got up and said that if you will not bring down the price to a fair price, I will make a halacha that a woman that has to bring many birds could bring only one bird. And then the price went down. Says the Tzemach Tzedek, the same thing here, a takana can be made that if the price doesn't come down to a fair market value, they will make a takana not to eat fish. And the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes that Tzemach Tzedek lahalacha. But the Mefarshim ask, what's pshat? If we just learned in our Gemara that comes an oisav shel adam tzkuvim chut mitzoy shabbos ois, that what's spent on Shabbos doesn't affect your income, so why should they make such a rule? So a number of answers are given. Reb Moshe explains that this rule is only if a normal price is spent. The halacha dem hoisav meisifin loy is not applicable if somebody spends more than is fair. And he says, actually, Rashi says that, because Rashi says, Lefi mashu rogel. A person should spend only what is considered a fair price, and if it's not considered a fair price, then it shouldn't be spent. Rav Chaim Kamenevsky takes a different approach. He says that if the price is very high, perhaps people that live with emunah will not be concerned. They'll know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay whatever the price is. But not everybody is on that madrega, and those people will not buy fish l'kavod, will end up having to spend a lot of people's money on fish l'kavod Shabbos. And this schar is only given to somebody who really believes in it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should make that the price should come down. The discussion that the Stipler also has is regarding tuition. Here we say that the Gemara says that a tzoras bonav l'talmud Torah, what's spent for sending a child to yeshiva, does not affect one's income. Stipler discusses if somebody is sending his child to yeshiva and there's a tuition asked for, may he request a reduction. And actually he quotes Darizal, who says that a person should pay for Talmud Torah of his children whatever it cost. However, the Stipel makes an interesting point. He says, if it's understood in the yeshivas where the tuition is asked for, that that's the way it works. They ask for a certain amount, and the parent tries to give less, and then they come to an amount that they both agree on. That is not an issue. The Shulchan Aruch Rav discusses if payment of tuition can be deducted from Maisa money, and he says that preferably one should not count the money he spends on tuition for sending his child to yeshiva from Maisa money. But he says if a person has to, he should only, the amount that's paid to the Rebbe who teaches the child should not be taken from Maisa. It's only the incidentals, the bus, the lunch, the other such items should be deducted, not the amount that's spent for the actual paying the Rebbe who teaches him. There's a story where the wife of the Brisker Rav came to him and told him that there was a year of inflation, and she said that the money, whatever income they were receiving, seemingly would not be adequate to cover their expenses. So the Brisker Rav said, look at the lashon of our Gemara. Our Gemara doesn't say kol ma'osav shel adam ktsuvim leim Rosh Hashanah, a person's amount of money. He says kol mezonosav. If the Gemara would have said kol ma'osav, said the Brisker Rav, so a person is predestined to get a certain amount of income, and that income in a year of inflation may not be enough. Here it says kol mezonosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure from the beginning of the year what mezonos, what he'll have to be able to live on. Continues the Gemara. Amar Bavua, Micro, how do we see this from a pasuk? Ask the Sasemis, why do we need a pasuk? We know the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, and we say this every year by the davening on Rosh Hashanah, that everybody goes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivnei meroin. We each pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. So obviously on Rosh Hashanah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging our panasa. So why does the Gemara ask for a pasuk? So the Sfas answers that we find in Mishnayis that on Pesach nidonim al tfua, on Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world produce, on Shavuos the Peiros. So he says, we have a question. Here we're saying that everything is determined on Rosh Hashanah. And there it says that's determined on Pesach and Shavuos. Answers the Sfas Emes. That on Pesach and Shavuos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides how much tevuah there will be in the world. Will it be a good year for tevuah, not such a good year for tevuah? Will it be a good year for Peiros, not such a good year for Peiros? But even in a good year, that doesn't mean every single individual will enjoy a good year. Or vice versa, in a bad year, chas v'sholem, not every individual will have a bad year. Says the Sfas Emes, that's what the Gemara says. How do we know that on Rosh Hashanah, even though it was determined on Pesach, on Shavuos, whenever, the general situation of the world, the general economic situation of the world, how do we know that each specific individual is judged on Rosh Hashanah? Brings the Gemara the Pasuk, Tikku b'chay de shayfa, b'kesel yom chageinu. Blow the shofar on a day that the month is covered. Ezu chodesh ezu chag, which yontev chodesh miskasaba, is the moon covered? Have oimus a Rosh Hashanah. So as Rashi explains, Rosh Hashanah is the one yontev in the year that comes out at the beginning of the month. At the beginning of the month, the new moon is not visible, and that's allusion to Rosh Hashanah. Taisa says that Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Chodesh, but even though Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, still, Rosh Chodesh is not really the focus of the Yontif. The focus of the Yontif is Rosh Hashanah. We don't mention Rosh Chodesh in the Yontif. B'ksiv, and it says in that pasuk further, Ki choyk li Yisrael hu mishpat l'alakei Yaakov. It's a judgment judgment for Yaakov. My mashm the high choik, and how do we know the choik means mezaynus? My mashm the high choik lishin the mezaynu. The ksev ochlas chukam delik the choik ashenoslem paroi. It means the amount that they're allotted every day. Mazutra amar mehocha hatifeni luchem chuki. Feed me my ration of bread. Choik refers to panosim. So mefarshim explain. The pasuk says, and the pasuk begins speaking about tikku bechodesh shofar. The pasuk begins to discuss regarding Tekiah Shofar. And the pasuk ends with the panosa. So the Mefarshim explain, we know that Tekiah Shofar represents Mesiras Nefesh. Because where do we get the Shofar from? When Avram Vinu was supposed to do the Akedah in Yitzchak, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't do it. They saw the Ayel Nachas B'Svach B'Karnov. So we take those horns of that aisle as the Tekiah Shofar to represent Mesiras Nefesh. Teaches us the pasuk that if someone is prepared to be Moisa Nefesh for mitzvahs, if somebody is Moisa Nefesh for Limra Torah, then he will be Zoicha to Panosa, he will be Zoicha to Chayk Lekei Yaakov. Tachsam Sofer explains the pasuk this way. He says that the interesting thing of Panosa, he says, is that not everyone gets panasa. We see sometimes a person who's wealthy and he's not so necessarily smart. And on the other hand, sometimes we see somebody who is poor and he's a very smart person. So we see that panasa is a choik. A choik we know is a mitzvah without any reason, that we don't understand the reason. Says the pasuk, says the Chasam Sofer, ki choik pli Yisrael. Panosa for Klal Yisrael is a choik. It's something that we can't understand. However, Mishpat Lelokei Yaakov. Yaakov represents when somebody is acting properly. The Yaakov always represents the highest level of Klal Yisrael. If somebody is Lelokei Yaakov, if somebody is serving Hashem, doing the mitzvahs, learning Torah, then Mishpat, he will deserve to have Panosa. Tanya. Amr lov al Shema Zakai. They said regarding Shema Zakai, Kol yomav hayoichel kvoit Shabbos. He would always eat on the covered Shabbos. Matz behemenov, if he found a nice animal, ayim azul Shabbos, he would set it aside for Shabbos. Matz acheres nohimena, if he found one nicer than that, menich hashni, he would leave the second animal, v'ayichas rishon and eat the first animal. Avol hil azokin mid acheres hoisloi. Hil azokin had a different approach. So call mass of L'Shem Shemaim. Everything he did was L'Shem Shemaim. Shenema Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. He lived day by day. He found something nice, he ate it. And we'll worry about the next day. The next day he'll worry for Shabbos and Shabbos. Tanya Nami Hochi, B'Shama Oimrim, Mechad Shabbos L'Shabbosach. From the beginning of the week you should prepare for Shabbos. Or B'Shil Oimrim, Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Look at every day individually. Mefarshim explain what is the basis of Shammai's actions. So they say, Reish Lakish gives two pshatim. One pshat is that the Gemara says, Shinui Veset Tchilas Chayil B'nai Mayim. If a person changes the way he lives, he could get ill Chas V'Shalom. So Shammai knew that on Shabbos, we have to eat Kama Anik Shabbos, we have to have Anik Shabbos. But if all week we're not going to eat on a higher standard, we won't be able to enjoy the good food of Shabbos. That's why the whole week he ate L'Kovet Shabbos better foods. Another pshat the Beis Yosef gives is that we began our Gemara, the Tapadis Amid, Kol Mezon Oysef Shaladim Ketzum Leim Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Chutz Maitzah Shabbos. If somebody spends money L'Kovet Shabbos, that doesn't affect his income. So Shammai's actions, everything he bought was L'Kovet Shabbos, that was a way to ensure his income. Hillel, on the other hand, had a different mahalach, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Rashi, on the pasuk of Zohar Es Yom Shabbos L'Katshoi, says like Beis Shammai, that if you find something nice, put it away L'Kovet Shabbos. Ask the Ramban. It's difficult to understand. We know that normally when we have Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel. And here Rashi is telling us to act like Beis Shammai. So there are a number of approaches given by the Mefarshim how to answer this question. One approach that the Chidah gives is that there's Machloikis Radvaz Chacham Tzvi. if somebody has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and he could do a mitzvah right now, the way the question was asked was as follows. Someone was in jail, Rachmana Litzlan, and he was given a day furlough. He could leave jail. So the question is, should he go at the first opportunity and daven, b'minyan, or whatever, or should he wait? The question that's asked in the Steichemid, the way the Steichemid produces, says the Shaila, is let's say someone was in jail, and he could be given a day off, and it's near Yom Kippur. Should he wait for Yom Kippur, or should he go out at the first opportunity? It's Machloikis Ratzvaz and Chacham Tzvi. The Ratzvaz says he should go out at the first opportunity. Chacham Tzvi says wait. Says the Chidah, that is the Machloikis of Beisham and Beisilu. Beisham says we should wait for the better, we should put it away for Shabbos, wait for the best opportunity. And Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says, we should chaperayin every day, Baruch Hashem, yoim yoim. But the interesting thing, as we said, is we're passing on Beis Hillel. So interestingly enough, I saw that there's a psikta. The psikta, when it quotes Hillel, Beis Hillel's position, it says, Aval Hillel mida yiseira hoisaba. So the psikta is saying that Hillel had a higher level. Not everybody could reach that level. What was Hillel's higher level? So Mefarshim explain, on one hand they say, Hillel lived with a gevaldige amuna. He lived with a amuna that every day he'll have today, and he doesn't have to worry about tomorrow. Not everybody could live on that high level. Another pshat that Mefarshim say, is that Hillel ate even during the week. Every meal he ate was an avodas Hashem. So since every meal that he ate was an avodas Hashem, that's why he ate whatever he got that day. We who maybe on Shabbos could come to something of such a madrega can act like that on Shabbos, but certainly every weekday meal to feel that person is on that madrega, that's not the madrega that most people are on. That's why we should act like Shammai. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach once said over a story that somebody came to shul and he had a beautiful esrig. And they asked him, how did you get such a nice esrig? So he says, his minig is that even though everybody already before Rosh Hashanah or during the Seder Yemei Tshuva goes to look for an esrig, he waits for Erev Sukkos in the afternoon. And Erev Sukkos in the afternoon, that's when the Meichrei Esroigim know that they have to sell whatever they have. It's too late. So even the nicest Esroigim he could get for a very reasonable price. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, if you're a person that in everything you live that way, you live like Hillel, Baruch Hashem, Yoim Yoim, then I can understand. But when it comes to all your other matters, you don't live that way. And not by Dvar Mitzvah, that's the way you act, it's inappropriate. The Shlach HaKadosh says, that the Gemara says, here, Michad L'Shabech L'Shabosech, from Sunday one should begin preparing for Shabbos, says the Shlach, from here we see that a person should be careful, that he should begin preparing all of his Shabbos needs earlier in the week, not wait for the last minute right before Shabbos. Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Hanois Matan Al Chaveroi, if somebody gives a gift to his friend, Ein Tzarech Leidi, he doesn't have to notify him. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Moshe Lo Yodak Yikarin Har Panav, Moshe wasn't aware that his face was glowing when he came down from Har Sinai. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, Lodas Kani Hashem Mekadeshchem, Amlai Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu Tov Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Matana Tov Yesh Li Bebeis Kenozai, I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house, the Shabbos Shema, and its name is Shabbos Vani Mevakish, Litna Li Yisrael, I want to give it to Klal Yisrael, Leich Vodilus, and go inform them, Mikan Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hanoi Sein Pas Latinak, if somebody gives bread to a child, Tzorch Ledeali Imoi, you have to notify his mother. So here we see that you do have to tell. Answer the Gemara, like Kasha. If the recipient will eventually become informed about the gift, you don't have to notify him. Ha, the Matana, the Levida Legluya, if it won't become aware of it, you should notify him. Ask the Gemara, Shabbos Nami, Matana Davida Legluya. Everybody's going to become aware about Shabbos. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to inform us about Shabbos? We'll all become aware of it. Answers the Gemara, Matan Schora Levida Legluya. We may become aware of the gift, but we won't become aware of the reward for Shabbos. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell us about this wonderful gift. If somebody gives bread to a child, my overlay, what should they do? Says he should rub oil on him or and put ointment on him, and when the child will come home and his mother will see that he has this oil and ointment on him, she'll ask him, from where is this? And she'll say, oh, somebody gave it to me, and therefore she'll know that the gift was given to her child. However, says the Gemara, now that they were concerned about kshafim, and if the mother sees this, she'll be concerned that somebody did kishuf to a child. Amra papa, shayfle maisamin. So whatever food was given, that should be rubbed. Like the Mefarshim explained, l'chatchila, they said, put on oil. Oil is a better way of notification than the type of food that he ate should be rubbed around his mouth. Because if the type of food that is rubbed around his mouth, the mother may think, if she sees that he has chocolate around his mouth, that he took chocolate from the pantry. She won't necessarily realize that it was given to him as a gift. So we wanted to do something that would be noticeable that it was a gift. What is that? Oil, ointment. But after there was a concern of kishuf, we have no other choice but to rub the type of food that he ate. All the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, Noslam Beferesi, he gave to them in public. Chutz Mishabbos, Shnoslam Betzina. Except Shabbos, it was given them in private. Shneimar, Beini Ubein Bnei Yisrael Oisil Oilim. Between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that is where it is a sign. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi Loil Enshu Lachem Allah. The Goyim should not get a punishment for not receiving the Shabbos. They weren't made aware of it. So Mefarshim ask that we know who says that they will get an Einish. Maybe they won't get an Einish. So he says that the Mashal explains the Gemara this way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell the Goyim about Shabbos, then the Goyim could have an answer why they refused to receive the Torah. They could say, we weren't aware that there is a Yoy Menucha, that there's this wonderful day of rest, Shabbos, in the Torah. Had we been aware of that, then we would have received the Torah. So we don't deserve a punishment for not being willing to receive the Torah. Another pshat is, the halacha is, the Mashal says this pshat, that Goy Shishovas Chayiv Misa, if a Goy keeps Shabbos, he's Chayiv Misa. And the Gemara is asking, says the Mashal, why? If they're not aware of the whole concept of Shabbos, why do they get an Einish if they're Shayim Shabbos? Another pshat is that we know throughout the generations, unfortunately, the Goyim have persecuted the Jews and not allowed them to be Shayim Shabbos. They told them they have to come to work. So now the Gemara is asking, if they're not aware about Shabbos, why do they get punished for doing that to the Jews? Answers the Gemara, Shabbos Adinu Adinu. They are aware of Shabbos. However, Matan Tzchor Adinu, they're not aware of the reward one receives for being Shem Shabbos. Vibay Seima Matan Tzchor Nami Adinu. They're aware of the reward also. However, Neshami Yisera Adinu. They're not aware of the Neshami Yisera. Dharma Shimon Malakish, Neshami Yisera Noisan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'adam Erev Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every person in the Neshami Yisera every Erev Shabbos. Well, the Matzah Shabbos, Noit Loisei Menu, Matzah Shabbos, it's removed. Shinemar Shavas Vayu Nofash. Kivin Shavas, after Shabbos goes away, Vay of the Nefesh, that's when the Nefesh realizes that it lost the Neshami Yisera. So Mefarshim ask, according to this Teretz, that the Goyim are aware of Shmir Shabbos and its reward, why can't they know about Neshami Yisera? So Mefarshim explain, what does the Neshami Yisera mean? Neshami Yisera teaches us that a person, even in his eating, Rashi says in the Neshami Yisera that a person can eat more, that a person with his eating and drinking, his Gashmi Yistiga actions, could be infused with Kedusha, that a guy can never understand, and that's why they don't understand the concept of Neshami Yisera. The Mefarshim discuss that why only on Matzah Shabbos do we say Vay of the Nefesh? We should say it on Friday night, that when we receive the Neshami Yisera, we should be so satisfied. The Mefarshim explain, the Baal Shem says this Teretz, when a person is well, he doesn't appreciate being healthy. When does a person understand being healthy or the reverse. It's when it's chas v'sham sick. Kiven sheshavas, when it's matzoi Shabbos and a person loses the neshama yisera, that's when vay of the nefesh, does he realize what he lost? Does he realize that he lost the neshama yisera? The Mefarshim discuss if there's a neshama yisera on Yontif. And one of the proofs that they want to speak about that there is no neshama, that there is or isn't neshama yisera on Yontif, is on when we have Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and then Yontif is on Sunday, and we make Havdalah, Matzoi Shabbos Yontif, we don't take Pesamim, even though we normally take Pesamim on Matzoi Shabbos. Perhaps that's because there's still neshama yisera on Yontif. So they say it's not necessarily the case. It could be there is no neshama yisera on Yontif. Rather, the reason we don't have to take psalmim on Matzah Shabbos Yontif is because since we eat meals on Matzah Shabbos on Yontif, those meals take, those bigger Yontif meals take the place of psalmim. But there is no neshama yisera on Yontif. Others say that there is a neshama yisera on Yontif just like there is in Shabbos. So ask the Sfas Emes, if that's the case, so why on Matzah Yontif, when we make Havdalah, don't we take Pesamim? So the Sfas Emes answers, there's a difference between the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos and the Neshama Yisera of Yontif. He explains that Shabbos comes every 7 days. Every Saturday is Shabbos. Yontif, we know, doesn't come automatically. Yontif depends on the Bezdin. Yontif depends on our being Mekadosh as HaYontif. Says the Sfas Emes. Something that comes automatically by itself, when it could go away and we shouldn't be able to hold on to it and we lose the Neshama Yisera. However, says the Sfas Emes, Yontif, that we mekadosh the Yontif, we sanctify the Yontif. So we sanctify the Yontif, we bring the Neshama, we are the ones, the ourselves, who bring the Neshama Yisera to ourselves, so we have the ability to hold on to that Neshama Yisera. The Yisrach Moshe explains, Kivin Sheshavas, Vay of the Nefesh. Kivin Sheshavas, when Shabbos comes, Vay of the, all of the Vay, all of the Tzoros a person has, of the, goes away, so says the Nefesh. The Nefesh says that when Shabbos comes, so come away, so go away all of a person's Tzoros. The Gemara goes back to discuss the Halachos of Erev Tavshilin. A person can prepare a cooked food before Yontif and designate it as an Erev Tavshilin. The only thing that can be used for Erev Tavshilin is something that's cooked. Av pasloi, not bread. Mashna pastaloi, ask the Gemara, why not bread? Elaim mida de malafas pinin, perhaps you'll say you have to have something that's eaten with bread. Or pasloi malafsa, bread is not eaten with bread. Ask the Gemara, v'daisa, there was a food that was made out of grain, like a farina, oatmeal, nami deloy malafsa, it's not eaten with bread. What's the proof that it's not eaten with bread? The Amrav Zera, hani bavloy tipshoy, these foolish people from Bavel, the achli nama benama, that they eat bread together with bread, that they eat this porridge together with bread. So we see you're not supposed to eat it with bread. Why you're not supposed to eat it with bread? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that if you eat the porridge by itself, you make a bari mina mezonos. But if you eat it together with the bread, then you don't make a separate bracha. So these were foolish people that they lost the opportunity to make a separate bracha. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav Chaim Kamyevsky says an interesting pshat. He says that the reason a person is supposed to eat food is because it has nutritional value to give him energy to be oved as Hashem. Bread and porridge are both grains, so they have the same nutrition. So a person that eats both of them is a fool. He's not eating to serve Hashem and to get the different types of nutrition that he needs. That's a tipish. And still, we can make an Erev with Daisa. So we see that Erev does not have to consist of something that's eaten with bread, because Daisa can be used for the Erev and it's not eaten with bread. Says the Gemara, Almidit lo shchich bina. We need something that's not normally eaten. Or pas shchita. And shchicha. And bread is common. Daisa, on the other hand, is lo shchicha. Ikedamri, Amar Baya, Loi Shana Lo Tafshel. We could only use the cooked food for the Erev Tafshilin, Al Pasloi, but not bread. My Tama, if you're going to say that we have to have something which is not common, or pashkicha, and bread is common, for dice, ask the Gemara loshkicha, dice is not common, and yet, amram nechume bezachai mishmei dabaya, eim avram bedaisa, why not? It's not common. Almidim melafas pinin, we have to have something that is eaten together with bread, or pasloi melafsa, and bread is not eaten with bread, and also, dice namiloy melafsa. Dice is not eaten with bread. The foolish people eat bread, eat porridge with bread. Everyone else doesn't. So the difference between these two versions is, can you use dice for Teref Tavshilin? This first version holds you may, the second version holds you may not. Tani Rav Chia, Adoshim Shebeshule Ekdeira, lentils that are left at the bottom of the pot, may be used for Erev Tavshilin. However, Vahani Mili, says the Gemara, this book is ice. We only have a kazayis of them. So Farshim asked, of course we have to have a kazayis. The halacha is that of every food, if we want to use it, we have to have a kazayis. So Farshim explained that it's only acceptable if the kazayis is kept together in one spot. It will have a very large pot with parts of the food in different areas of the pot. That will not be acceptable for an Erev Tavshilin. However, I did see that the Mayadim Vizmanim says that in every food, let's say somebody's using fish or anything else for Erev Tavshilin, says the Mayadim Vizmanim, a person should try to take one big piece rather than slices. He also says another Chiddush, Lahalocha, he says that if a person, we're learning now, we're going to continue learning, that one should use a kazayis for Erev Tavshilin. So he says, when you take fish or poultry, we should take that an amount that we have enough fish or food, not with the bone. Amar of Yitzchak Rav Reid Yehuda, Shamnuna Shalka Basakin, you could scrape the fat off a knife and use it for an Erev Tavshilin. But again, says the Gemara, Hani Mili, this by Kazayis, it has to have a Kazayis. The Aloch is that Bishul Akum is awesome. Bishul Akum means something that Goyim cook. Chazal said we shouldn't partake of those foods, so we should not socialize with them, and that will prevent intermarriage. The Aloche, however, is that if something is Oyla al Shulchan Malachim, it ain't Oyla al Shulchan Malachim, it's not a specifically significant food, it's not served by a state dinner, or it's nechel kumashuchai, it could be eaten raw, there is no problem with bishul akum. Amar vasi amarav, dogim ketanim malochim, small fish that are salted, ein bemishim shulei akum. There is no problem with bishul akum, since the salting makes them edible, there is no issue of bishul akum. Amar Rav Yosef says, b'mtzol anokri, if a guy roasted them, samachalei mishim erev tashilin, they could be used for erev tashilin, that they're permitted food. However, says the Gemara, the avidnu nochri kasa de hasna, the guy made some sort of a dip, some sort of a food. This food was made by frying fish with fish fat and flour. That is a problem of bishlakim and usur, and it cannot be used for the Erev Tavshilin. Ask the Gemara pshita. Of course it can't be used for Erev Tavshilin. It's probably bishlakim. It may not be eaten. Answers the Gemara, madatay maharsna ikur. We might have thought that the fish fat is the main ingredient. And since there's no problem of bishul akum on the fish fat, as we just finished explaining, there should be no problem of bishul akum on the kas of the harsna. Kamashma, that's what Rabbi Yosef teaches us. The kimcha ikur, that the main food here is the flour, and flour is not edible until it's cooked or fried by, and therefore there's the issue of bishul akum. However, says Tosfos, based on this Gemara, that if one has a challah that's baked by a goy, and on top of the challah they smear egg. On challah there's no issue of bishul akum, it's only pasakum, which may be eaten. And the egg there's issue of bishul akum. Since the main item here is the bread, the challah, not the egg, there is no issu of bishul akum, because our Gemara says Tosfos taught us that we follow the main food, and the main food, if there is an issue of bishul akum or not, is determined that way. Amar Abba, erev tefshilin to tzrichin kezayis. An erev tefshilin has to be kezayis pig. Yibaylu, kezayis echel kulon. Do we have to have a kezayis for every person that wants to rely on the Erev Tashilin? Adam Kazai Sakhal Kulan, one Kazai for all the people who want to rely on the Erev Tashilin. Adam Kazai to Kalech of Echad, a Kazai for each individual is enough, is required. Tashma, Dom Rab Abba Amar Av, Aruv Tashilin, Srichin Kazai, Erev Tashilin has to have a Kazai, Bein Lech Bein Lemeya, no matter how many people are going to rely on this Erev Tashilin, one Kazai is enough. And Taisha says, we have in Alocha three types of Erev. Erev Techumim, Erev Tefshilin, and Erev Chatzeres. Says Tosfos, the halacha is by Erev Techumim, everybody has to have a 2 meals worth of food for every person that's going to rely on the Erev Techumim. Erev Chatzeres, we have to have the amount of a groigris for each person relying on the Erev Chatzeres, or 2 meals, and that'll be enough for how many people are relying on Erev Chatzeres. For Erev Tefshilin, as we just finished learning in our Gemara, one kezayis for all of the people is enough. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Och lo yashavid, if the Erev food was eaten up or lost, lo yavashala betchila, one can't rely on that to cook for Shabbos. Shari mena kol shu, but if a little was left over, saimach alav l'Shabbos, we can rely on it. My kol shu, what does kol shu mean? Lav afagav de leke kezayis, even if there isn't a kezayis, a kol shu means a kezayis. And it's Gemara loy, it's referring to ispa kezayis, that it has a kezayis, and therefore it could be relied on. And like the Rav explains, the chiddush of the Gemara is that even though this person began with a larger amount of food, so we would think that for it to be considered an acceptable erev, it only has to have the amount that he started off with, teaches us the Mishnah, as long as I have a kezayis left, it's good enough. Toshma, tafshel tzli, this tafshel is roasted. I feel a kovish, kovish means it's cooked very much. Kavish means that it's pickled, I'm sorry. Shalk means it's cooked much. Or mevushal, cooked normally. So the Rambam points out, why is the Gemara using tzli as the best type of food for an Erev? Because a roasted food, given that it's the most significant type of cooking, and it's a little like boiling, and it's a little like broiling, is the best type of food. Koyetz espanim, shenosim avchamim, it's a type of mackerel, and one which pours hot water before yontif. Tchilosoy v'soyfer en l'shir. These are all acceptable for the Erev Tefshilin, and they have no shear. My love doesn't mean ain't like shear klal, that they have no shear, and still it's kosher for an Erev. So the Gemara, loy, ain't like shear lamala. There is no maximum shear. Av yesh shear lamata, there is a minimum in Erev. Omer av Yehun Omer av, Erev Tefshilin tzirich and das. An Erev Tefshilin requires knowledge that has been established. Says the Gemara, pshit, it's obvious that das manich binan, that the person who's placing the Erev Tashilin should know that he's intending to make an Erev Tashilin. Have asked the Gemara, das mi shenich loy binan, does the person who's going to rely on the Erev Tashilin need to know about it, or loy binan, or not? Toshma, davud eshmu ma'arav akulin ado. He made an Erev for the whole city. Rav Ami, Rav Asim, arav akul tveria. They made an Erev Tashilin for the whole city of Tveria. Machr is Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Mi shalai niach Erev Tashilin, whoever did not leave his own Erev Tashilin, yavai v'yismach ha-shali, to rely on mine. And like Mepharshim said, this last story is the proof. No, these people weren't aware of the Erev Tashilin when it was made in Erev Yontif, and yet they could rely on it. Vat kama, how far can Erev Tashilin be relied on for a person who did not make his own Erev Tashilin? Omrav nechumi bar Zachari mishmei dabaya at chum shams, until the distance of Shabbos, because that's the distance where one can walk on Shabbos, so that's why a person can rely on the Erev Tashilin. There's a machlaikis, if a person is past the Tchum Shabbos, but he was specifically counting on the Erev, could he rely on it or not? Some of us say, under no circumstances can it be relied on. Others say that it can be relied on, and yet others, and that seems to be the din in halacha, if this person has an Erev Tchum that he can enter the city where the Erev Tchum is, then it can be relied on, if not. There was this blind person who would say brises in front of Mashmul. So Shmuel saw he was upset. Why? Amlei d'leisivis erev tishilin. I didn't put that in erev tishilin. Amlei smoich adidi. You can rely on my erev tishilin. The shana. Next year, chazi da'avatzi. So again, he's upset on yontif. Amlei ma'etzivis. Why are you upset? Amlei d'leisivis erev tishilin. I didn't make an erev tishilin. Amlei l'kula amashari. Everybody can rely on erev tishilin. On my erev tishilin the dach. Also, you cannot. Because you are Pesheyat, you are a Pesheya, Lukula Mashari, everybody can rely on it, but the Achasa. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we hold that this is only if a person always makes his own Erev Tashilin. If a person always makes his own Erev Tashilin, indicating that he doesn't rely on someone else's Erev Tashilin, and he skips two times, then he's a Pesheya. But if a person never makes his own Erev Tashilin, who always relies on someone else's Erev Tashilin, on the Rav, with other people's Erev Tashilin, then he could always act in such a manner. There's a shayla in the Paiskim, what does it mean that if he missed twice, he's a Pesheya? First of all, Darach HaShulchan says that in our times, when people live with so many tirdis, with so much on the head, we're never considered a Pesheya. The Kaf HaChaim says it's only considered a Pesheya if he neglected to make Erev Tashilin on two consecutive Yom Tovim, but the Chai Adam is Machmer. If he skipped a second time, even if it wasn't consecutive, it's considered that the person is Pesheya. There's another Shaila discussed in the Tzitz Eliezer. Let's say somebody makes an Erev Tashilin, an Erev Yontif, and then he leaves before Yontif, so he himself is not relying on that Erev Tashilin. He's now where his Erev Tashilin is. Can others rely on that Erev Tashilin? And the Paiskim seem to make the following distinction. If he at any point relied on that Erev Tashilin, he started cooking in any manner based on that Erev Tashilin, then other people can. If he never relied on it, so if he didn't rely on it for himself, others shouldn't rely on it either. And our meaning is that whenever one makes an Erev Tashilin, he has a mind, for everybody who's living here. But the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that when one makes such an Erev Tashilin and he has a mind other people, he should be mezaka the Erev. He should have somebody else accept the kinyan in the Erev for all of those other people. And he has to be careful that the person making that kinyan should not be somebody who's part of his family. It could be a family member, but it's not somebody that lives with him in his own home.